Don't you wish life came with an instruction manual? Even though parents and teachers try their best, for the most part, we're on our own when it comes to navigating the uncertainties of career and relationships. Jim Vandehei has tried to create such a manual with his new book, Just the Good Stuff, No BS Secrets to Success, No Matter What Life Throws at You. Jim went from being an indifferent student to co-founding two of the most prominent media sites around, Politico and Axios, where he's currently the CEO. Here he is to share some of his no BS ideas.
My name is Jim Vandehei, and I am the author of Just the Good Stuff, my no BS secrets to success, no matter what life throws at you. My background is very much in journalism. I was once the political writer, the White House reporter for the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal. And for the last 17 years, I've been an entrepreneur, starting Politico, a media company in D.C., Axios, which we started 7 years ago, another media company that covers politics, media, technology, and business, and a communications company called Axios HQ that teaches companies to communicate more crisply. I wrote this book, Just the Good Stuff, based on my experience of learning, often the hard way, how to run a company, how to manage a company, how to start a company, and how to be a CEO. Almost every lesson I learned by screwing it up the first time. I didn't go to school to be an entrepreneur. I didn't go to school to be a CEO. So everything I learned on the ground. And one of the cool things about my job is I'm a journalist turned CEO. So I took very close notes along the way so that I can help other people from similar backgrounds or people who are in leadership to really deal with some of the tough stuff of life and tough stuff of leadership. I was born in Wisconsin in Oshkosh, was not a great student, spent more time drinking beer than worrying about biology or my classes. And I think I'm proof that it doesn't really matter where you start. It's really kind of what you do with what you have and really understanding yourself and taking advantages. I'm going to share five of my insights from the book. The first one is about life. The first chapter is Zotega. Zotega is a word I learned in Malawi doing a missions trip with my boys, and it means it's possible. The word moved me so much that I got the first tattoo of my life and stamped it on my shoulder when I returned because I was so inspired by this sense of purpose that the people there had despite, you know, a pretty bad situation around them. And the reason I start the book with It's Possible is that really is my story. There is nothing about me, had you met me at the age of 20, that said, hey, this guy is going to go on to cover the White House, interview presidents, start companies, make a lot of money, sell companies, and be a CEO two times over. Nothing at all. There's nothing remarkable about my grades, my performance, my extracurricular activities. And my point is that it doesn't matter if you grew up in Oshkosh or you went to Yale or you come from great privilege, that anything is possible. It's the beautiful thing about America. And I think there's a lot of people like myself who come from small towns or come from, you know, not come from privilege or money or connections, who have a real chip on their shoulder. And when I moved out to D.C., I had that. I always assumed everyone was going to be smarter than me and more connected than me and just better than their job than me. And I quickly learned that if I sort of applied what I learned in Wisconsin about hard work and honesty and grit, that those can carry you a long way, especially if you tether it to something you're really, really passionate about. I think anything really is possible if you just find something that you would maybe do for free, that you enjoy that much, that you can throw that much of yourself in. A second point is about work. I've had the privilege of working with thousands of people. I've hired thousands. I've had to let go of a lot of people. I've really learned a lot about what works and what doesn't work. And the type of person that I guess that I aspire to be or that I just want to be around the older I get are, we used to call them killers with humility, and people thought that was a little too aggressive, so we changed it to selfless superstars. But the idea is you want to be around people who are really smart, who are really motivated, who are really hardworking, but that are also good people that put the company or the unit or the team above their own ambition. Life is just too short to spend time with people who are
either narcissistic or just so self-absorbed, so motivated by what benefits them. Those are the people who cut corners and do bad things. And so if you find yourself in a place where you're working with folks like that, just get the hell out. There's no upside to it. If you can, run. If you work for a boss like that, try to move on. It's such a bad, bad way to live life, and it's so deflating. And I think for a lot of us, especially folks who choose sort of the professional world and maybe live in a city where there's different job opportunity or chosen a profession where it is, you do have the options to sort of make sure you get away from those type of people and really gravitate towards selfless superstars and yourself trying to be a selfless superstar. My third insight is about being a boss and the power of soft power. You know, I knew nothing about leadership when I became a leader. You know, I went from being a White House reporter at the Washington Post one day to having to help start Politico, be an entrepreneur, ultimately become the CEO. And back then, I just had one gear. It was all just like, go, go, go. Kind of like Vince Lombardi of the Green Bay Packers, just drive it, drive it, drive it. And, you know, I grew up, at least the early years of my career, where hard power still worked, where a lot of people kind of had this throwback attitude about work. And you could, you know, you mainly have male-dominated leadership at a lot of these companies where it was hard charging and big drinking and tough talking. And what I realized is that hard power is vastly overrated, vastly overrated. If you're really good at what you do and you're a really good leader, the real power comes from soft power, the ability to have a high EQ, really high emotional intelligence, having a little bit of empathy, having a real power to kind of sit back and not just think about yourself, but read the room. What motivates people? What hurts people? What gets people to do things they don't even know they're capable of doing? And I think if you can master the soft power, you'll have far, far more power than you would ever have by just asserting it by fiat or because of the title that you hold or because of the number of people that you manage. And I do think the EQ, like your IQ, is something you can work on over time. You know, I think I look back and I realize how much I benefited from playing a lot of poker and being a bartender back in Wisconsin, because both being a bartender and playing poker, you know, forces you to interact with a lot of different people, forces you to read people, and teaches you finesse and nuance, which are just essential ingredients to soft power. A fourth insight from the book is about candor and some of the tough stuff of life. It is a hallmark of the culture at Axios, candor. And candor is not licensed to be a jerk and just say whatever on your mind. It's about being brutally honest with yourself about your strengths or weaknesses or about an individual situation and giving people the gift of candor in difficult situations for them. I remember sitting at the Washington Post back when I was a reporter, and I knew there were reporters that they didn't like and they didn't think much of, but they were making enough money, so they wouldn't tell the reporter what they were doing wrong. They might put them in a more remote bureau, or they would just put them in a beat they didn't care as much about. And I always hated that, because if I was that person, I wish someone would say, hey, you're not that great of a reporter. I really wish you could write better, or I wish you could report better. That person deserves the right to become better at what they do. And I learned that pretty early at Politico, once I got into leadership, this power of candor, of just sitting down with people and being really honest with them about the things they do well, but the things that they don't do well. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. And you can do it in a very respectful way. But to me, especially once you're in a position of power, if you're going to fire someone or you're going to force someone out, by the time it happens, it should never be a surprise. You should have been in constant conversation with that person, being very clear, very vivid about the things that they weren't doing that they need to correct to be able to stick around. If anyone's surprised by the time that you let them go, 95% of the time, that's on you. It means you were ducking the hard stuff. No one likes difficult conversations. I don't love difficult conversations. But it's a gift. It really is. It's a gift you give other people. And I think you can create a culture of candor. You can create a culture of honesty, which just then cuts down on the mischief and all the ickiness of work and relationships that you really want to avoid.
I end the book with a bucket of insights about, you know, some of the good stuff, like some of the stuff about really thinking of holistically about life, not just about work, because I don't think you can really separate your life from your work. Like, people talk about work-life balance. I don't really know what that is. I guess some people do. I love what I do, so it's kind of blended into everything that I do. I love politics. I love media. I love running businesses. So, like, even my social conversations tend to revolve around that. But one of the things I've done and learned to do that I talk about in the book is create a happiness matrix. That's what I call it. And in my happiness matrix is basically, what are the things that I need to really pay attention to make sure that I'm kind of a happy, fulfilled boss, person, husband, father. And for me, the buckets tend to be my faith, my health, my marriage, my relationship with my children, my relationship with my immediate family and my closest friends, my hobbies, love to fly fish, love to exercise, love to hike. And I really try to do an inventory of those buckets on a regular basis, because if something's off or if I'm grumpy or I'm just not performing optimally, it's usually because one of those buckets is low. Maybe I haven't been spending enough time with my wife. Maybe I haven't given enough attention or affection to my children. Maybe I've let my faith slip. Maybe I've let my health go because I've not been focused enough on it. And I think all of us need to do that. I really do. One of the big points I have in the book, and I'll kind of leave you with, is this idea. I'm surprised so many people treat life like they're a bobber in the water, just floating along with the current. Like, we control so much more than we control. Like, what we read, what we eat, how we treat other people, how we think about our mental health, our physical health, our emotional health. Like, all of those things make us us. And all of those are things that we control. And all of those things, if controlled, help us to perform more optimally at work, but also, more importantly, more optimally at life, and get more out of our, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, whatever we have with our turn on earth. So I hope you enjoy the book. I hope that you take the time to kind of read each chapter and figure out how can you apply it to your life. I think it's great for college graduates and people thinking about, how am I going to master the workplace? But I also think it's great for people who are in positions of leadership, who just want to really think through all the different parts of your arsenal. So thank you very much for listening to this, and I hope you read it. And if you want to give me feedback, I'm Jim at Axios. I always love to hear from readers, whether it's of our website or of the book. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. That was Jim Vandehei with 5 big ideas from Just the Good Stuff, No BS Secrets to Success, No Matter What Life Throws at You. You might also like our book bite for Jim's previous book, Smart Brevity, The Power of Saying More with Less, co-written with Mike Allen and Roy Schwartz. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.